fork in the road. Did you see it? This guy was looking for it, wasn't he? And as he was looking for that fork in the road, it kind of reminds us what the Christian life is really about. I think that many of us will come to a fork in the road. But what happens when you make the wrong turn? Sometimes we feel like in our Christian walk that once I become a Christian that I'll always make the right turn. But you know what? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. And God is so good in writing us the Word that He is telling us, I want to show you from the very beginning. I want to show you how little guys get in jams and then what they do to get out of them. But then the consequences. When you come to a fork in the road, is there a process in your mind in which you go through? Is there a way in which you begin to say, I need help in understanding, do I go right or left? Kind of amazing. I like to study people. When I was a teenager, I looked at my daddy, and I knew he didn't know which way to go. And then all of a sudden, when I got up in my 20s, I began to think, he might know which way to go. And then when I graduated from college, I knew he knew which way to go. What I can't figure out is how smart Daddy got from the time I was a senior in high school, the time I got out of college. Daddy just got smarter. Or that's kind of the way I looked at life. Making right and wrong turns. I asked Daddy, I was over at Reform Alabama one time. They needed a music director. And I went over there one time and he said, Daddy, they need a music director over there. I was at one of those forks. And Daddy said, son, stick to preaching. Wise advice. And I did. And I did. Thank God I did. And the people thank God too. But all of a sudden, when life really throws you a curve, there's this guy named Terah. He had three sons. One of his sons was Abram. Another was Haran. Haran had a son, and his son was named Lot. Lot started growing underneath his father's feet, but all of a sudden, at an early age, his father died. What was he going to do? He grew up in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and Ur of the Chaldees, there were false gods. They were not worshiping the Lord God. In the course of time, though, his Uncle Abram had an experience with God. And with this experience with God, God told Uncle Abram, said, look, I want you to go to Canaan. I want you to leave it all and go to Canaan. Lot loaded up and got his father, Terah. He got his father and they loaded up and they went as far as the city called Haran. And there, rather than continuing on their journey, Grandpa Terah, Uncle, I'm going to call him Uncle Abe. It's easier to say than Uncle Abram. I guess I'm thinking about Abraham Lincoln. But it's Uncle Abe. His name is actually, later on, you'll know him as Abraham, okay? We're talking about the same guy. So if I talk about Uncle Abe or Uncle Abram, y'all just know the short version of it. Uncle Abe said, okay, I'll take Daddy and then we'll take Lot with us. And we'll help him along in his journey. They went to Haran. There they lived till Abraham, Uncle Abe, was 75 years old. His father died there. And then after his father died, then God came back and said to Abraham, look, remember this? I want you to go to Canaan. I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. He loaded up. He took him. Uncle Abe, nephew Lot, they headed out toward Canaan. And on their journey, it was an experience of life. It was really kind of unique. Because on their way, on their journey, one time he looked at Uncle Abe and Uncle Abe was making this altar. Because Uncle Abe had started worshiping God, the Lord God. Lot picked up on that. He listened to Uncle Abe, and Lot believed God. Lot was saved. Now, you're going to have to remember this, because Lot was saved kind of as a younger man. But in that journey, and then I'll share a scripture with you in just a minute about that. But in that journey, all of a sudden, Lot comes along the line, and he goes down, and he follows Uncle Abram. They go down in Egypt, and he watches his mentor. And Abraham was a man of faith, a friend of God. But he watched Uncle Abe allow his wife, Aunt Sarah, 65 years of age, a knockout at 65, go in, be taken by Pharaoh into Pharaoh's harem. And Uncle Abe said, please, just tell them, you're my sister. Don't tell them, you're my wife. Abe said it. What was Lot supposed to do? He watched his uncle, as it looked like, turn his back on his own wife. And because Uncle Abe didn't want to get killed because his wife was so pretty. And so that's what he did. And actually, she was his half-sister, so he wasn't totally lying. But he also saw something else happen, that when Aunt Sarai went into the harem, that God sent a plague, sickness, on Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh said, wait a minute, what's going on here? So Pharaoh went to Uncle Abe and said, why did you tell us this? Didn't you know I might have gone into her and sinned against God? Why did you do this? Well, in the course of time, Lot saw Uncle Abe get blessed by God with all this wealth. He saw his wife being delivered from Pharaoh and returned back to him. He saw his own life, Uncle Abe's own life, being spared. And then he saw how they began to stink in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said, you go back home. You get out of this country. Amazing. Well, on the way back, Uncle Abe was sharing the wealth with his nephew. And as he was sharing his wealth with his nephew Lot, then all of a sudden what happened was Lot got richer and richer and richer. Abraham got richer and richer and richer. Why? Because the hand of God was on Abraham and Lot was getting a blessing. See, when you get around somebody that's being blessed by God, you get blessed. I can't really explain it. You get around somebody being blessed by God and you're going to be blessed. So he connected in there with him, and all of a sudden now they started to grow. Well, Uncle Abe, when he went down into Egypt, he was a shepherd. But when he came back, he was a cattleman. But what happened was they got so much wealth, so many cattle, that when they got on the range out there, they started having a range war. And Uncle Abe said to his nephew Lot, said, look, Lot, it's not that ain't right. You and I, we're on the same page. We'll always be close together. But our cattlemen, man, they're going after it. Here's what we're going to have to do. If you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. You go to the left, then I'll go to the right. You choose. Now, that was really of God's working. But what that meant was that Abe was sending Lot off on his own now. Now, he was old enough. He was wise enough. But was he? See, he came to a fork in the road. And when he came to that fork in the road, he had to go right or left. And so what did Lot do? The scripture says, Lot looked down and he saw the plains of were green and grass, the plains toward the region that was known as Sodom and the region known as Gomorrah. It was down in this range area. It was before God sent down the hellfire and brimstone, okay? It was before that. He looked down and he saw something so very unique down there. He looked down there and he saw, look at the plains. And what he saw was the green grass, insomuch that we'll look at the text here in a minute, and the text will say he saw the plains as though they were the Garden of Eden and the plains of Zoar, or Egypt. Now, the interesting thing that brings down in this, all of a sudden, he looked, he lusted after it, and he leaped. He said, this is the way I'm going. And he moved toward that region. The scripture said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the interesting thing is, you begin to look in this chapter, in chapter 13, you're going to see he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then the next thing you see, he's in the towns of Sodom. And then the next thing you see, he's in the city of Sodom. Now, what happens in this picture? What happens in this picture right here? You see that he's not just there in the city, but inside of this city, he is now a gatekeeper. And as a gatekeeper, what that means is he was in the political system. He was possibly the mayor or the governor. And you would say, man, he's got it knocked right now. He's got it all put together. But what happened was, in the course of this time, his influence went down the tube. He was in a wicked city. And because he was in this wicked city, all of a sudden, the wickedness of this city rose all the way to heaven. And God sent three down, two angels and the Lord Jesus himself in a pre-incarnate state. He sent him down, and they headed toward and on their way to Sodom to see what it was like. Abram was in the way. Uncle Abe saw him, invited him in the tent, and they had a time of fellowship and food, and then they told him what he was about to do. And all of a sudden, Uncle Abe says, wait a minute, he knew Lot was down there. And he says, you're going to go down there and you're going to destroy that place. And he says, yes, that's what we're headed for. He says, if there's 50 men down there, will you not destroy it? And so he said, yeah. And he says, if there's 40 men, would you not destroy it? And he said, no, I won't destroy it. 30, 25. If there's just 10 righteous men there, will you not destroy it? And they said, we'll not destroy it for 10 righteous men. They went down to the city. As they approached the city, they were out in the area, in the courtyard area. Nephew Lot had a house there. He saw these two men. He said, look, guys, y'all come into my house. They said, no, we can't come in there. Yes, you come into my house and fellowship, and we'll feed you. And he told them to come. He didn't know they were angels. But he invited them into his house. The sun went down. A sound occurred outside. The ranging, the knocking. The men of Sodom from all quarters of the city said, send out the two men that we may know them. Send out the two men so that we might commit. Today we know the term sodomy. That's where it came from. We use the term homosexuality. That's where this came from. Send out these men that we may know him. We may know them. And nephew Lot said, no, don't do this terrible thing. These men are under my house. Remember, he was a leader in the community. And you know what the community thought about him? They said, if you don't send them out now, we're coming after you. We're going to do worse to you than we're going to do to them. He said, don't do it. And so he said to them, look, nephew Lot said, I have two daughters that are virgins. Take these two daughters and do to them what you will. But don't do this awful wickedness to these men in my house. Nephew Lot went outside and he said, look, guys, don't do it. Bring them out. Send them out. The crowd started getting, the rage started rising, and they started grabbing to go at the door. And all of a sudden, these two men who were inside grabbed him and jerked Lot inside. And when he jerked him inside, then these two angels struck blindness over all the men who were outside. these two angels said, Lot, get everything you got. Get all your family. Get your children, your sons, your son-in-laws. Get all your kin. Get them out. We're here to destroy this city. Lot took it serious. He went to his son-in-laws and says, look, these guys are here to destroy the city. We got to leave now. His son-in-laws laughed at him. His son-in-laws thought he was lost it. Where was his testimony? Where was his life? And so as they began to look that, where was his life? They laughed at him. The morning got closer. It was almost time for the light to dawn. The angel said, Lot, get it and get out now. And Lot kept holding back because he wanted his family. He kept holding back. But these two angels reached out there and they grabbed Lot. They grabbed Lot's wife and his two daughters and literally dragged them out of the city and said, go to the mountains. Lot said, we can't make it that far. There's a city called Zoar. It's not very far. It's just a small little town. Let us go there so that we not be destroyed. And the angel says, okay, we will spare that city because of you. They took out. And he said, the angel said to them, whatever you do, don't look back. They went off on their journey. Lot's wife looked back at the city of sin, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot grabbed his two daughters and went forward. They went to Zoar. The smoke. Uncle Abe, from a long, many miles away, looked down and saw the smoke rising into the sky, knowing that when Lot was out of Sodom, God sent hellfire and brimstone and consumed the whole region, not just the city, but the whole region. Lot went to the city. The rage of the storm passed. He was fearful to live in the city. He went up into the caves. And while he was up in the caves, that's where he was living, he was afraid now. He was afraid of what happened. He was afraid what the people would do to him. In the course of the evening, his two daughters said to each other, our father is without a son. There's nobody to keep the name going forth. So the two daughters talk among themselves. And they said, well, what are we going to do? And the elder said to the younger, said, let's make daddy drunk. And when we make daddy drunk, then we will go and lie with him. That night, they made daddy drunk. The oldest went in. Lot didn't know when they came in. Lot didn't know when they went out. And the oldest daughter committed incest with her father. The next night, the oldest daughter said to the younger daughter, now it's your turn. They made nephew Lot drunk. The younger daughter came in. He didn't know when, and left out, and he didn't know when. He was so drunk. Both of the girls became pregnant. They brought forth a son. One son named Moab, the Moabites. Other son, Ben-Ammi, the Ammonites. What happens? What happens when you come to the fork of the road? You may think that it's just going to impact my life. But look at all the things. Look at all the ways in which these lives were impacted. But let's capture this just for a moment. Was nephew Lot a believer? In the book of 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, the scripture says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and how to reserve the unjust for the day of judgment. what happened right here? Lot is a righteous man. Lot's a saved man. You say people were saved in the Old Testament? Yes. People were saved in the Old Testament by the grace of God. How are people saved in the New Testament? By the grace of God. And for by grace are ye saved through faith. And what is faith? Faith is a what? Faith is a response to the revelation of God. Okay? All right? So they responded to the revelation of God. That was faith. And by grace are you saved through faith. Now Lot. Well, look, Lot made a choice. And when Lot made that choice, now to look across that valley that was so green, it was a selfish choice. He was not thinking about anybody but himself. He was not thinking about his family because of the wicked men that was down there. He was not thinking about Uncle Abe. Uncle Abe had given him and helped him grow to be a wealthy man. He didn't care about Uncle Abe. All Lot cared about was himself. See, many times when men are making decisions about jobs, if they considered it only themselves and not their family and not the impact of their family, then they could be very well making a wrong decision. When you're making a true decision, you need to consider all those who are in place. So Lot chose selfishly. And then Lot's choice was based on materialism, not on the Spirit. But materialism. And so he saw here the Spirit, and there was going to be a struggle. Do you remember it was called the Garden of Eden? He looked upon it, and he called the land as though it was the Garden of Eden, and also as Zoar of Egypt. Egypt is known as slavery and sin and bondage. The Garden of Eden would be in the faith. And so therefore, from the very get-go, the decision that Lot would make, it would be a spiritual battle going on. He saw the mercy, the grace of God, but he wanted some of Egypt to come together. He wasn't willing to turn it all loose and say, let's seek God. Let's help out Uncle Abe. No, let's be selfish. Let's focus on materialism. And then let Lot presumptuously, he didn't check out the people of the land. He wanted to override it. Well, wait a minute. Presumptuous. He didn't see the wickedness. He said, I can do it. Whatever comes my way, I can do it. And he believed he could. He believed spiritually he could have done it. But what happened to him when he made that wrong turn? He started way out there in the fields, went to the villages, and ultimately ended up in the town. That's what sin does. So many times when you think, well, it's just a simple decision, it starts way out there, and there's really not much impact on me and mine and my family. But then the closer you get to Sin City, the more Sin City begins to grip you. The spiritual battle was on. It was a decision that he made. Now, this spiritual battle continued, and we could say, well, now, wait a minute. How could he have done differently? He could have made some choices differently. This is not the ultimate end, but I can give you at least three areas that he could have chosen that would have helped him make the right decision. Number one, the Scripture teaches us that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then God's going to add all the things that we need. So number one, in Matthew 6:33, is seek first the kingdom of God. You want to make a good decision? Start with the kingdom. Don't start with the pasture. Start with the kingdom, don't start with the raise. Start with the kingdom, don't start with what you see and feel and sense and touch. Start with seek the kingdom. Number two, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy path. You see, if you trust in the Lord, He is going to tell you right or left. And when He does, He'll walk with you. Seek the kingdom, trust in the Lord, and then seek the counsel of the Lord. In Proverbs 19:21, it says that the counsel of the Lord will stand. So God will give you direction in your choice. God will give you direction in your life. But Lot made a choice. But when Lot made a choice, then here's what happens. You make a choice, then the choice makes you. What happened? How did the choice make Lot? Lot moved out from underneath that spiritual umbrella of his mentor, who was Uncle Abe. When he moved away, he was on his own. And all of a sudden, that struggle began. Lot pulled. Lot lived a separated life into the city plains, and then all of a sudden, the pull of the city and the wealth and the power. All of these things began to bring forth a struggle. Could he have overcome? He looked upon this garden as saying, "This is the Garden of Eden." But in reality, it was the backyard of Satan. And that was his choice. He was at a fork of the road. He was at a fork of the road. And what he didn't realize, he was walking into Satan's back door. Lot discovered that wealth and power and position is not the key to peace. Insomuch that when he had the first real trouble with the city, he told the people of the cities, "Hey men, don't do this wicked thing." And these men said to him, and Sodom and Gomorrah said, "You either send out the men or we're going to do worse to you." Where was that power? Where was that position? Where was that peace? It was gone. They used him and his wisdom, and then they abused him, and he left. So the choice that was made, we see right here. Lot moved away. The pull of the flesh was stronger than the pull of the spirit. And then Lot discovered the deceitfulness of riches. Number three, the impact of Lot's choice. The impact of Lot's choice we can see in Genesis chapter 19, and this was the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. We find him, number one, he sat in the gates, there in that political position. He was in a place of influence, but his influence failed to impact anybody. Look, if you're a believer, your life is to impact people, and it should begin in your home, and then it should reach out to the people into whom you come into contact with. How is that? Lot, with all of his money, with all of his power, and all of his position, how many people in that city became believers? None. With all that he had, the only people that survived was his wife and his two daughters. And that was at the mercy of God and the prayers of Uncle Abe. So what happened to his testimony? You see, your testimony has got to impact people. If it doesn't, then the city can go down. And you can say they got what they deserve. Listen, nobody deserves to go to hell. The worst person that you can think about in your mind, how disastrously, how devilish they might be. Hell's an eternity on the lake of fire, and nobody needs to go there. But who's going to make an impact on them? Lot was in a position, but Lot lost his testimony because Sin City got into him rather than him affecting Sin City. Be careful where your decisions will take you. And what did he lose? He lost his influence to the lure of Sin City. He lost his wealth to the judgment of Sin City. He lost his wife who desired to look upon Sin City. He lost his peace to the vexation of men in Sin City. And he lost his confidence and lived in caves for fear of the people of Zoar. Those things happened in his choice. He lost it all right there. But now let's do something. I want to carry you one step further. I want you to look at the observations in light of a wrong decision. Because you say, Lot, sometimes if I were to ask you, Lot, was he a Christian? Many of you would say right now, I don't know. Many of you might even give him thumbs down. But Simon Peter said in the New Testament, he was a believer. And folks, I'll take the word. He was a believer who made a bad decision. What do we know about him? Well, saved men can make bad choices. But when saved men make bad choices, saved men will experience the consequences of those bad choices. And saved men are responsible to affect society in which they live in. If they do not affect the society in which they live in, then the society may affect them. Saved men are to maintain their integrity while sin prevails. You know one thing I liked about his two daughters? They were virgins. In the very worst environment that your mind can dream up, his daughters were true. And so therefore, there's some character about Lot that sometimes we tend to forget. Saved men will be delivered in the day of judgment. And I have a lot of respect for Lot, because Lot was a righteous man. And Lot's daughters were virgins. And Lot sought to take his family to safety in the course of the judgment that was coming. And Lot did not look back to Sin City. Lot interceded for the city of Zoar, and Lot's lineage, wait a minute. Remember his oldest daughter? She had a child, a son named Moab. Moab became a nation. Actually, a nation that was always fighting against Israel, but Moab became a nation. Out of Moab came a woman named Ruth. Y'all remember Ruth? Ruth, out of the lineage of Ruth, came forth the Lord Jesus. Because Ruth married Obed. And out of that lineage came forth the Lord Jesus. You see, Lot made a bad choice, but it's not over with. It's not over with. And so therefore, being a believer, if you've made some bad choices in your life, remember that God's not through with me. I can live the best I can live in the environment where I am, wherever that might be. I can be the best I can be. God's not through with me. Because the last thing I want you to see is the prophetical nature of happened here. Jesus spoke of Lot in Luke 17, 28 through 30. The Scripture says, likewise also it was in the days of Lot they did eat and they drank, and they bought and they sold and they planted and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all of them. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. The Lord Jesus acknowledged Lot, and the mercy and the hand of God, saying that when He comes back again, it's going to be unsuspecting people. Lot lived the life. And like Lot, he was taken out. So Lot spoke that the Lord Jesus is coming back. In reference to Lot, Jesus also spoke of Lot's wife. For us, He's telling us to obey God. Because if we do not obey God and die to self, then we too can become even as though a pillar of salt. If we look back to Sin City and the old way, we can lose it all. We must follow and obey the commandments of God, where the Lord Jesus said in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in the night there'll be two men in bed. One will be taken and the other will left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. The Lord Jesus spoke to us, saying, you must be prepared, because I'm coming, and then when I come, I'm going to take the believers with me. He spoke of Lot. And then Simon Peter spoke of the coming. Jesus also spoke of Lot in reference to the rapture of the church in 1729. Because remember this, when nephew Lot was in Sodom, the fires and brimstone could not fall until they were taken out. The Lord loves the church so much that before the 7 years of the tribulation begins, He's going to say, take the church out, because I'm not going to start the tribulation until I've called my people out. Out. We've got a picture, a prophetical picture of Lot. As Lot was taken out of Sodom before the fire fell, even so the church will be taken out of this world before the 7 years of the great tribulation begins. Prophetically, a man named Lot. Peter spoke of the mercy and the judgment of God, that God delivers the godly out of temptation and God reserves the unjust. The final scripture I'll read again, as we read at the beginning, 2 Peter 2:7. and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. In other words, the Lord knows how to take the righteous out of Sodom and deliver you as a believer. The Lord knows how to deliver you out of the temptation. But he also says this, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. As we look at Sodom and Gomorrah, we have that picture. And Lot, nephew Lot, says and reminds us, we need to connect into the Lord Jesus and obey Him, not looking back, but going forward. And we need to know that God is going to judge the unjust, and He will send torment and punishment upon them. Let us therefore think about Lot and remember your life is a summation of the choices that you make. Let's make good choices. Let's pray. Father, as we come together this morning in time of prayer, I'm concerned because so many are placed in, we've all made bad decisions, God. We made good ones too, but some of the decisions, Lord, that we made really got things messed up. And God, I thank you that there's hope. There was hope for Lot, and there's hope for us. Lord, I pray now for people who are making decisions today. Lord, that they will trust in you. They'll seek the kingdom of God, and they will go and follow the counsel of the Lord in making those decisions. Make good decisions, because it will affect their family, affect their finance, it'll affect their future, affect their life, affect the life of their children, family. Help this body of believers, Lord, make good decisions. And Lord, for those who are wrestling whether they should turn right and accept the Lord or turn left and go the way of the world, Lord, help them to remember Lot's wife. She lost it all when she looked the wrong way. Help us to look the right way toward the cross of the Lord Jesus. And by the grace of God, believe in what Jesus did for us. And Father, if there's one here that has not made that decision, and you've revealed it to them today, Lord, help them by faith to move on it and to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we shared together a time of invitation. What's that invitation all about? Time to think about old Lot. Lot made some bad decisions, but what did God do? God still had his hand on him. Midst of it all. Scripture says he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. So do you know him? Do you know him personally? If you do, he'll walk with you. If you know some folks that haven't made the right turn yet, we need to tell them, because there is a time and date in which things are going to change. So for you as an individual, do you know the Lord Jesus? If not, I invite you to come and stand with me and just say, Brother Robert, I want people to know I want Jesus. And ask him into your life. That's the beginning. Some of you might say, look, I've made some wrong turns. But today, I want to make the right turn. I want to make the right turn. I want to go to the Lord. Come on up. Ms. Hoffman, share with us what happened.